everybody. It's lovely, lovely to see you all here. On what a wet and miserable day it has been outside. Isn't it a good job that we're inside all together for a lovely morning celebrating 170 years since this church was consecrated. 170 years of Christian witness and worship and prayer here in this place. It reminds us that we're part of a bigger story of faith than just our own lives in our community. And just as it's had 170 years so far, it will keep on going. It is a real delight to be able to introduce to you the man to my right, Bishop Jonathan Merrick.
Good morning.
He is going to be here with us for this service, doing various bits and pieces and preaching. I'm afraid that he's an incredibly important and significant figure in my life story. When he came to be Bishop of King's Lynn, when I was living in Norfolk, where my father was a vicar, he did a walk around lots of different churches in the whole of your patch, I believe. And on one of those trips, he came into our church, and sitting down for a quiet moment to rest his feet with a cup of tea, he sat in our little side chapel with some chairs and biscuits next to me, and started having a long conversation. He gave me about 10 or 15 minutes with other people waiting to talk to him. And that was a very helpful moment for me as I was beginning, in the very earliest days, beginning to think about whether or not I ought to go into the church. And then when I decided I shouldn't, I ended up going and having a conversation with you. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah,
I came to your house. We sat in his garden and I had some orange juice. And I don't know what he said, but when I went in, I was like, this is not a good idea. And at the end of it, I was off to train at Cranmer Hall in Durham. And the rest is history. So if you have any complaints, this morning is your opportunity afterwards at tea and coffee to grill him and ask him, what were you thinking? It will be lovely to have him with us here for our service this morning. I just want to say two things briefly. Next week, on Sunday afternoon, we have our memorial service at Holy Trinity. Do come along if you would like to. Perhaps come along if you don't want to. Often we carry with us memories of loved ones that we never do anything with, feelings that we hold on to that perhaps hurt us and grieve us long after they've died. And it's an opportunity to remember in a safe space them before God, to offer up prayers and reflections, and to just be in a space with other people who feel similarly to ourselves. There's no compulsion to talk to anyone else, but there will be the offer of tea and cake afterwards. So you are warmly invited to that. And I also just want to end by saying it is brilliant to see Tiger Club sitting here at the front of church. This is not
right.
Something that we're imposing on them. They have said, we want you to know that we are here because we are part of your church and we are part of this church family. And so in a moment, we're going to stand and sing our first hymn. But I would like to say a prayer for everyone in Tiger Club as they go out and do all that they will do, that God will encourage them and be close to them as we have our service. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Tiger Club. We pray that your Holy Spirit will give each person who is in it a sense of joy, of life and fun, but also the reassurance that wherever they go and whatever they do, you are always with them by their side. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So remembering that Jesus is always by our side, may I invite you to please stand as we sing our first hymn, There Is a Redeemer.
Oh,
Thank you so much for your welcome. It's a great joy to be here, and I'm glad to know that I could at least persuade somebody to follow in the way of the church's life. Beloved, we meet in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Would you please be seated? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name.
Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whose glory we celebrate the dedication of this house of prayer, we praise you for the many blessings you have given to those who worship you here. And we pray that all who seek you in this place may find you, and being filled with the Holy Spirit may become a living temple acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We remain seated for our first reading.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, beginning to read at verse 11. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Earlier the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand and sing our next hymn, number 830, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
My word to them, whom shall I By the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Who shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. As I said earlier, I'm really grateful to Sam for the invitation to come and be part of your dedication festival this morning here in Tyler's Green. And it's great to know that Holy Trinity Penn are here with us as well. I served in South Buckinghamshire for about 5 years or so early on in my ministry. From 84 to 90, I was team vicar of Taplow in the Burnham team ministry, as it then was. So it's always a great joy to be back in this county. From the Old Testament reading, God says to Jacob, as those angels climb up and down the ladder in his dream, I am with you. I will never leave you. From the first letter of Peter, you are God's own people who have received mercy. And from the gospel, Jesus says to his critics, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Today, we join together in celebrating 170 years of worship here in this delightful, cozy church. It seems to me that a dedication festival always has a twofold dimension. Firstly, and most obviously, a thanks for the past, all those who've been part of the life of this church throughout those 170 years, some of whom you will have known, many of whom you will not. But they're all there, and they're still part of us. Their prayers and worship here in this church remain embedded in the walls and the building. But we're not just saying thank you for the past at a dedication festival. We're also, it seems to me, committing ourselves for the church's present and indeed its future. Committing ourselves to play our parts in its continuing life and in its mission. Peter, or possibly someone writing in his name and with his authority, urges his readers, and therefore by extension us as well, to stay focused on the basics as we seek to follow our shepherd. Take the pure spiritual milk, he says to them. The things that matter, that means. The essence of our faith. All that will build us up and make us strong and turn us from children to adults. And secondly, he urges that we should keep at our centre the knowledge that Jesus is the cornerstone of our church, of our life together. Not a static piece of masonry, but a living stone, active in his keeping the work of his church going, and focused very much on people. People who, says Peter, need to be living stones themselves. Jesus is the cornerstone, but we too are part of the stonework. And like him, we need to live and be active in our membership of the church. For our churches are not just our glorious buildings, though they do have a role to play, are in themselves they're a witness to the people around us. But our churches are not simply these buildings. Our churches are also, and indeed primarily, ourselves. We, the congregations who gather in them, we primarily are the church. So what does it mean for us to be living stones? The meaning of the Greek word for church, ekklesia, is simply called out. And the church, the ekklesia, is us who are called out from the life of the world to the life of those who follow the shepherd Jesus. Knowing that we are God's own people, knowing that we are recipients of his mercy, rejoicing in that status and sharing it, passing on to others the mercy that we know we have received, the place we know we stand in the love of God, offering the same welcome to others that he has offered to us, seeking to follow Jesus' example, understanding that God seeks to offer mercy, not judgment. There's a place in Luke's Gospel where the Gospel writer gathers together a number of things that Jesus has said and incorporates them together, as it were, in a sermon. And he sets that sermon by the side of the lake. Matthew does a similar thing in his Gospel, which he sets on the mountain. And indeed, we know it as the Sermon on the Mount. But in Luke's version, which is slightly shorter, right in the middle of it comes, I think, a very key summary of the things that really matter. Love, he said, even if that means loving your enemies, doing good to those who are seeking to hurt you, your response to them must always be for their good and a reflection of the love that God has for you. In the same way, just as your heavenly Father is merciful, so you should be merciful. You should not judge nor condemn other people, so that you will not be judged or condemned. And you should give with the same superabundant generosity that God gives to us. That's the example that we seek to follow, those of us who know we are called to be God's beloved followers of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And there's a similar kind of affirmation in the story of Jacob's dream as he flees from his brother's anger. That's not immediately obvious in the verses that we heard in that reading, but the context is, as so often the case, key. For Jacob is running away for his life. He knows that he has stolen things from his brother that he shouldn't have done and that will have made his brother really angry. So he runs for his life. And it is that first night after he has run when he lies down and has this extraordinary dream with angels passing up and down between him and heaven. And at the head of the ladder along which they have travelled is God himself, reassuring Jacob that he will never leave him, reassuring him that he is there for him. I am with you, he says. I will never leave you. And that reassurance will be needed again, Jacob will find, years later, when he has acquired 2 wives, 12 children, flocks of sheep, flocks of goats, and a significant amount of wealth. And he returns home with all these things. And the nearer he gets to home, the more he remembers just how angry his brother was with him as he left, and begins to fear what will happen. And there's another night that he passes just before he gets back home. And in that night, he has that moment of wrestling with the angel and realizes in the morning that he has been wrestling with God. And that gives him the strength to go on and face his brother, who, of course, receives him with mercy and welcomes him back gladly. In the Gospel, Jesus' sceptical critics are asking for plain talking. Tell us plainly, they said, are you the Messiah? I couldn't be much plainer, says Jesus. And look at these who follow me. A few verses earlier, he has been describing himself as the good shepherd, willing to die for his flock, calling them and others to follow, to find pasture, and then themselves to share in the shepherding, so that we, the living stones, we should be both fully alive to the knowledge that we are cared for, and we should be caring of others, full of the knowledge that we are welcomed and seeking to welcome others, knowing that we have been found, that we have received mercy, that we are loved by God, and seeking to join with him in the finding of others and the exercise of his mercy and his compassion. The key to all this is hospitality. Over and over again, Jesus in his teaching will refer to the giving of hospitality, setting his stories in great parties, dinner parties, wedding feasts, and making it clear that this hospitable welcome is what is at the heart of God. There's a poem that I think reflects all that beautifully clearly, written by a man called George Herbert in the 17th century. It speaks, I think, as freshly today as it did then. In the poem, George Herbert imagines that he is standing at the gate of heaven, meeting his Maker at the end of his life, conscious of all the things that he's got wrong. But what he finds is that God nonetheless offers him hospitality and welcome. He doesn't want to accept it, but eventually he does. And although there will be many, many, many times when God is calling us to share in his work of welcoming and offering the hospitality of his love to others, there will also be times when we need simply to receive it, to rest in it, and to allow its love to wash over us. And that's, I think, what this poem is about. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, ungrateful, ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. Our call as living stones in this community is both to sit and eat, rejoicing in the love and mercy of God offered to us, and also to be part of the inviting and the serving team that enables God to do his work in the world. May he give you his grace and his blessing as you do both those things throughout the next 170 years of this church's life. Amen. And so we turn to our intercessions.
Jacob said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Lord, we gather today to celebrate the patronal festival of this church. We thank you for the vision which inspired those who founded it, and we remember before you all who have gone before, shaping it and fulfilling your will that it be a place of worship here in this community. As its present custodians, may we be as living stones, keeping this place as a spiritual beacon to guide others to you. Bless all those who come here, those who know and follow you, and those seeking answers, comfort, or refuge. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, as we think today of our church, we are mindful that we are a tiny link in a worldwide Christian community, and we ask for your blessing on all that is being done in your name. Strengthen the foundations of your church here on earth so that it may resist the factions which divide and weaken. We also pray for those who meet in difficult and dangerous circumstances and all who are persecuted for their desire to live their lives for you. May they be aware of your unwavering presence to uphold their courage and strengthen their faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our world. In every walk of life, there is great suffering as conflict, natural disaster, and disease take their toll on mankind. In many cases, we have no answers and can only lay the needs of all who are suffering at your feet. Comfort those caught up in wars and crisis. Surround those who are fearful for their future with your loving care, and give wisdom to those tasked with making decisions. May they be guided by compassion and duty in the choices they make for those in their charge. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today, in our joint service, we ask for your guiding hand upon our ministry team within the United Benefice and all who lead and serve in both churches in any way. We also take this time to think about the opportunities we have to involve ourselves in helping others locally. As the weather becomes colder, we thank you for the Wickham Homeless Connection, whose work is so vital during these winter months, and who are largely reliant on recruiting volunteers to be able to run this service. Bless their endeavours and all who make it their mission to make a difference to those who are experiencing hardship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We turn our prayers to all who are struggling in their lives at present, those who are sick and in pain, those who are lonely, fearful and vulnerable, those who have no home, all who are troubled in any way. Be with them all, Lord, and by your grace may they feel the power of your healing touch. We ask for your blessing on Gail Wellings as she continues her recovery, and in a short moment of silence, any others on our hearts this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lastly, we hold out those loved ones who have died in recent days or whose anniversary falls at this time. We thank you for their lives among us, Shield those of us who are left from the pain of grief, and help us to know the comfort that is your infinite love and compassion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves, that as we go from this church today to start the week ahead, we walk more closely with you in all that we do, as sheep who follow their master's lead, in the certain knowledge of everlasting life with you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And we stand to join together in the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made.
For us and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven,
was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary,
and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son,
who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified,
who has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy, catholic, and apostolic church.
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. May the peace of the loving Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us offer one another signs of peace. Peace be with you, Sam. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Our next hymn is number 1583. We have a gospel to proclaim.
Peace be with you.
Thank you.
service continues on page 5.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with
us. Lift up your hearts.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing,
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Accept through him, our great High Priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And so we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many,
We are one body, because we all share in one bread.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace.
Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father in heaven, whose church on earth is a sign of your heavenly peace, an image of the new and eternal Jerusalem, grant to us in the days of our pilgrimage that fed with the living bread from heaven and united in the body of your Son, we may be the temple of your presence, the place of your glory on earth, and a sign of your peace in the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we, who share Christ's body, live his risen life. We who drink his cup, bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much to Bishop Jonathan for all that you have shared with us this morning, including sharing communion with us. But it would be great if we could just hear a little bit of what Tiger Club have been doing this morning as they've been reflecting together on the theme of service. I think, Beth, you are being pushed forward by the others off the gangplank into the murky waters. So what have we been up to this morning as we've been reflecting on service together?
So we made these vouchers of service, which are like things that we can do that help others, which don't give us like a monetary gain or whatever in behalf.
So it's like acts of kindness for no reason other than being kind and loving and serving one another. What a brilliant reminder to take away from this session today into the weeks ahead, look, this is something we have learned here in church and we're going to try and do. And we're going to do it even for our brothers and sisters, because I think that's the hardest one. It's easy to be nice to people in church, but at home, when siblings are being annoying, that might be a difficult time to redeem one of those service coupons. Thank you very much. So we pray, Lord, thank you for what we have heard about service today. And we pray that as these vouchers are given to each other, that they will be a reminder of all that you have given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And on that note, let us stand and sing our final hymn, In Christ Alone. Thank you all. Say anything, I just want to say once again a very big thank you to Bishop Jonathan for coming and joining us for this service now. But he's not running away straight away, as bishops sometimes are wont to do, because we have tea and coffee across the road, to which you are all warmly invited to join us, and I understand you are staying for a cup of tea because he's coming along for lunch afterwards.
So I've got no option.
You've got no option. He can't run away. So do stop him, say hello, let him know what you've thought. But do hold on to that thought about being living stones, making the community here in the heart of our broader community of Tyler's Green. Thank you, Bishop Jonathan.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and all those whom you love and seek to serve this day and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.